You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Charlotte Beckett. Charlotte, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Charlotte, we're talking in February of 2021, and we're still in the pandemic. You're in Brooklyn. So before we jump into what you've been working on, how has it been working in the last year in the city under the pandemic?
It's a weird time. In addition to the pandemic, I'm also in the middle of relocating, and so it's been a strange time. I'm working remotely, so it's a time of a lot of Zoom. And I'm sure you've been hearing this from many people, but it feels very emptied out. New York always persists in some sense, and I think that New Yorkers are who live here are continuing to do the things that they do in any way that they're able to, but it's in an abbreviated format, I feel like.
Well, it seems like some neighborhoods are changing. Just the other day, I was in I've been hearing more about, that people like it, kind of the walking aspect of New York. Now there's less people, there's no tourists, and I was in the East Village the other day, and Avenue, I think, B, in the bottom of Tompkins Square Park, is largely blocked off just by, it looks like, people putting up their own barricades and saying, don't come in here unless you're going 5 miles an hour. Kind of like, obviously it's not done by the police, but it looks kind of like they're taking back the block a little bit.
Wow.
I mean, because there is more of kind of a walking feeling now, right?
It's a different tempo, and, I think everybody kind of misses the tempo that we're used to, but you're right. Once a lot of the parts of living in New York, high density of tourism and stuff like that, once that kind of stuff empties out, it creates all kinds of inventive spaces or opportunities to take back parts of the city.
So let's talk about what you're working on. I know you're moving and there's all kinds of things going on. So we can talk about anything you like, or if there's something currently you're involved in that you want to talk about, or something over the last year, we could do that too.
Yeah, because it's kind of a weirder time, one of the things I did most recently before the pandemic was I did an artist residency at the Center for Book Arts, and they have two tracks of residencies there, one for bookmakers and one for artists that are interested in using the materials of bookmakers. I'm not a bookmaker. Obviously, I did the other track. And it was great because I'd made a bunch of pieces in the past using paper. And this was really fun because I learned so much more about the medium. I didn't really get, when you're learning something, it's not always a time of intense production. And then the pandemic hit and everything, and I had to create a more sort of a truncated version of studio practice. And so I've been able to make work using paper, and I'm making these kind of, they're abstract forms, but I'm using paper to kind of build up forms that look like wood and have these kinds of parts that are bursting out. They're not moving sculptures. A lot of the work I make is mechanical work, and this has been kind of just making forms out of paper that kind of speak to some of the ideas of movement or mechanization, but
Those are ideas you've used before in installations, you mean? mm-hmm. with different materials. You've created sculptural forms that kind of are sprawling in spaces. Is that correct? I mean, as well as public projects, but that's what you mean by kind of using material in a different way. You've used other materials like that, right? Have you used?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I think about in the studio is kind of trying to use a material in a way that allows it to, I don't know, operate just for a moment as something else or transform in some small way. And so I use a lot of materials that are, I don't know, like kind of more ready-made materials, but scale or the these kind of mechanized pieces allow them to become something else, something kind of bodily or landscape. So yeah, that's kind of something that ties a lot of the different types of work together.
So let's talk about that a little more. Now, this is happening at the Center for Book Arts, or that's what, that was the genesis of it, because you're saying you're not actually making a book there. You're working with paper to make kind of different forms, the way you have previously
yeah.
with sculpture and installation, or is
yeah.
that also a book coming out of it, or no?
I made some small books. They're, I suppose, like sculptural objects that use the idea of like a progression, turning pages to kind of create a progression. And yeah, it was an interesting experience. There's a lot of really knowledgeable people that work there. And, you know, there's an element to my work that engages with craft. And it was fun for me to be around people who were talking about the grain in paper and how to feel it and how to fold paper and anyway, kind of like kind of techy, geeky stuff. But, you know, those are kind of tools that I like to use in the studio. So that was kind of like a fun experience or informative experience for the work. And then with everything being kind of, I don't know, kind of shut down, not shut down all the way, but kind of limited right now. It's been really fun to work with these materials that are incredibly simple. And, they just are what they are, I guess. And I'm
yeah.
trying to develop a new body of work with these really kind of plain material that's not trying to, it's being illusionistic in a way that maybe is adjacent to some of the other pieces that I've been working on. So it's kind of a fun new thing to mine.
That's exciting. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because I love books. I love the Center for Book Arts. And I think, you know, it has a relationship, of course, to, as you're talking about time-based things, it has a relationship to installation and sometimes film or video. People who are making books often are doing those other mediums. So to talk a little bit about the ones that you made, can you tell me a little bit about them? Is there a specific binding? Is there like a story at all, or is it completely a visual kind of narrative?
Yeah, a lot of them just, so the projects I worked on there really were a way to kind of experiment with some of the new processes. So they're kind of almost process-based work, but they deal with kind of geometry that folds out or creates its own kind of, like, a lot of the work that I make uses light to kind of create projections or illusions, and so these kind of folding out or geometric forms that could kind of fold apart or into different configurations had a different kind of visual effects. And one of the things that I'm kind of interested in is like this idea of a loop in the work where things are cyclical, particularly with some of the mechanized work. This idea of a motor that drives them is kind of gives them an inherently cyclical structure, and I use that to kind of tap into ideas of body rhythms or just day and night cycles or repetitive gestures. And for me, the idea of a book as a kind of the way that a page could advance to the next page was a type of loop. You know, you could get to the end of the book and start over again. And but yeah, they're books in the sense that they use turning pages as their central structure. And then the sculpture that I'm working on now kind of use this structure of the pages on end to kind of build up forms. So they're very kind of striated forms. And they take on the appearance of like wood grain in some places or smoke in other places. But I use these terms kind of loosely. Much of the work ultimately becomes kind of abstract silhouette forms that allow for maybe more than one type of image to, they can hold more than one type of image at a time. Because they're kind of reduced.
That's exciting. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because that sounds interesting and a little kind of elusive in some way. How? Tell me about how that, what does the sculpture actually look like? You said standing on end, that sounds like it relates to book form, but how so? What kind of materials? How large is it? Is it all paper-based? What is that sculptural form
look
like?
Just to kind of describe the building process, maybe I've been cutting paper. You know, my friend Tom Kotick curates shows, and he sort of threw out a prompt over the summer. He does these projects where he invites artists to do shows in lobby spaces. And so I did a show that, with him at Brookfield Place, downtown Brooklyn. And he was interested in putting together a show that artists who made work kind of out of ready-made or found materials, kind of reused or reclaimed materials. And so I just used a lot of, I went to the office at work and we had all of these manila folders from before we had kind of digitized a lot of the stuff from the office. So it's stacks and stacks of manila folders. So I've been cutting them into pretty thin strips and kind of laminating them together, and so that they take on these kind of 2x4. I mean, they're kind of dimensional, like a 2x4 chunks. And you know, with the kind of manila folder coloring, they take on the appearance of 2x4s. And the strips of paper are on end, so they have a sort of surface that's reminiscent of grain, like wood grain. And in that sense, they're also sort of like books on end in a way, but more organic. So they have a kind of wood grain appearance or damaged
and
book
how,
appearance.
How big are these?
This is not, about 2 feet, cubed. They're kind of smaller scale than some of the other installation pieces. They're more a kind of density of material than a sprawling material, I guess. They're letting me kind of pick up some of the tropes that I've been using, but yeah, it feels exciting to kind of push into a different direction. Again, I kind of feel like some of the limitations during this time have almost kind of given me permission to kind of simplify my process. A lot of the times, I typically keep somewhat elaborate studio where I have like a milling machine and a metal lathe and a lot of equipment, and this has been kind of an opportunity to just sit with an X-Acto knife, which really allows you a lot of other kind of freedom, and it's been really nice.
That's cool, right? There's a certain kind of intimacy to that process. I mean, as opposed to working larger with different kinds of materials, you're working, I mean, paper itself is kind of an unusual material, although you're using more than that, but you're saying it's kind of, there's an intimacy and a challenge to that new material, right?
Yeah, and, I think that, I mean, a lot of the colorful parts These are kind of different. I've been working largely with, like I mentioned, silhouettes. I've been kind of reducing the palette in the work, almost entirely monochromatic black sculptures that had kind of evolved into a series that was just always going on in the background, these kind of abstract body sculpture series. And then these are, I just kind of started gathering mailers and junk, anything that came in the mail. And it was almost like, it felt like we were, I was quarantined, and it was like the only thing coming in was like all this junk mail. Like, it was like somebody just like delivering supplies. It was where I was staying, there was a not operational pediatrician's office, and I used up all of their waiting room magazines that accumulated at their front step. And yeah, it kind of felt like somebody was bringing me material to work with, and I just had to sit with it and try and unlock it. And there was something about that seemed to tie to a type of experience I was having during the pandemic, particularly during the time when, you know, people were really very much kind of quarantined and isolated. And when we hadn't really figured out, you know, it felt like touching a subway seat would be really dangerous, and people were very isolated.
And what will happen with this work? Is it, do you think it'll be exhibited somewhere? Is there any plans for that? What's the near future for it?
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. There's an organization called Art in Buildings, and there's this really small space that I've been invited to put some work in this fall. So I'm kind of thinking about spaces like that. This kind of smaller scale, labor intensive work might be a good fit there. I suppose once people feel like they have a greater sense of freedom, presumably things will resume. But like anything, likely not exactly the same as it had been before. So I guess it sort of remains to be seen what's gonna happen with exhibition opportunities, and it's, I'm sure it's different for different types of artists. But I guess that's how I'm thinking about it now, is that for me there's, you know, some question about what exhibitions may look like. Somebody was telling me that they have younger daughters, and they were forecasting that there would be a kind of roaring 20s after people are vaccinated, which I thought that was a kind of cheery prediction. That would be great.
Roaring 20s, in what sense? I see a lot of people dancing when I think of roaring 20s, but I don't know what does roaring 20s mean. That's interesting in that sense. How do you interpret that?
Yeah, they meant it that everybody's been, particularly younger people, they said, have been forced to kind of be on this kind of best behavior, that there's going to be a kind of celebratory reaction to being so kind of confined. And, you mentioned kind of how you ran into part of the city that felt like it had been reclaimed. And so I guess I'm kind of, I don't know, if all of these corporate entities decide that working remotely is a future for their employees, does that leave an opportunity for artists to use spaces that have been, you know, abandoned as office spaces? Or does New York just sort of default back to being expensive real estate immediately, because that's just the history of New York? So maybe this is more like a fantasy, but something that I've been kind of thinking about.
I want to ask you one more question. What are you reading at the moment?
It's funny. I'm teaching myself some computer programs, so I'm kind of involved with that. And so I have like Fusion 360 for Makers and things like that sitting out. But I've been listening to, I like to listen to interviews. And I've been listening to this series of interviews called Soft White Underbelly. It's on YouTube, and it's interviews with people who live on Skid Row or the Tenderloin or Appalachia. And they're really interesting kind of profiles of America in a way through the voices of people who have really that have had kind of what America sort of proposes to offer taken away from them. And I don't know, I think that they're kind of interesting way of telling American history through this kind of absence or void. They're sometimes difficult to hear, or they're sad, but I think that they're really powerful. So yeah, I've been listening to stuff and trying to learn some 3D modeling programs, so I have some how-to books.
Well, Charlotte, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate the work you're doing, and thanks for your time and sharing this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you getting in touch. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.